Amen. Amen. Come on, say amen if you agree. Listen to me. Listen to me. We refuse to have another dead church service. And I realize that all kinds of people come into this church. But listen to me. In heaven, that's how it's going to be. When God just gives a word of exhortation and edification. And we want that in Jesus' name. And when it's in order, then I'm telling you it'll be of God. And I appreciate you doing that. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Well, let me tell you just a couple of things. Number one, it's an honor to have new people here. Amen? Now, the reason, listen to me carefully, the reason this church is growing very fast, even though we're 16 years old, that's relatively very young for most churches. I mean, you go down the road and you see churches that have been established for 100 years and going. And when the Lord told me and Jamie to start this church 16 years ago, we started as an outreach. We didn't want to be in competition with any churches. We started it on a Tuesday night. And then I started watching in about a year, and I started seeing people not going to any church, and that had become their church. So about a year and a half into it, the Spirit of God, as we were praying, told us to begin to cause this church to be what it's called to be. Now, a lot of people got saved in the year and a half of just an outreach. But I've noticed something that, and you visitors, you'll see it. You'll see it if you keep coming. I've noticed that evangelistic outreach still continues to happen today, even though we're a Sunday church now. So here's the mission of our church, is that we see people saved, healed, delivered, and set free to the glory of God in the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay? So what happens is unlike a lot of churches that I've been associated with, I'm seeing pastors, evangelists, start coming to this church. It's amazing how many of them are joining and God is just calling to be a part of this church. Sometimes I know that they're ministers of the gospel and sometimes I don't. Most of y'all know a man and his wife came from San Francisco to just get built back up, and he had been a pastor there for a long time. And I don't know if any of y'all from all my California people, raise your hand. Y'all know what I'm talking about. When you pastor in San Francisco, that's not easy ground. It's tough. And God brought him here to get built up. But you're also going to see a lot of people get born again here. And I'm not saying that they'll stick. God just brings them to get saved, born again, and then gets them to a church where they're actually planted at. But whatever the case, it's an honor to have a lot of new people. And we'll have 5 to 10 every single Sunday. And so what we like to do here at Cowboy Church, and by the way, Cowboy Church is just the bait. It's the bait for the Western world that has this mentality that if they don't wear a suit and tie, they don't feel comfortable in the church. Only two times in the last 2 or 3 years has anybody seen me in a tie. And one of the times is when a friend, a rancher friend in Andrews, Texas, their mother left and went to heaven, and that's just their custom. They wanted me to wear a tie, and I said, that's fine with me. But more than likely, the things just choke me, okay? But you know what? Even though I was raised in suit and tie churches and then, you know, raised on a ranch, doesn't matter how you dress. You just come and hear from the engrafted Word of God. Amen? And so you'll see everybody come. It doesn't matter if they have a suit and tie or if they just came from work. It's a bait to get those Western people to stop having that mentality that they don't fit into church. And we teach them that. And when they come just as they are, now y'all are watching him because You're trying to figure out what he's doing. Well, the kids are fixing to sing a song here in a minute. So just continue to watch him. If you've never been to Cowboy Church before, would you allow us to welcome you with a big old round of applause? All we need you to do, if you've never been here before, just right where you're at, raise your hand and let us welcome you. Would you do that? Thanks for coming. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Thank you so much. Amen. Now, hopefully you got a visitor packet when you walked in. And inside that visitor packet is a pen and a visitor card. And I hope that you would fill that out for us real fast. And then I'll tell you what to do with it here in just a minute. But it gives us an opportunity just to call you. Sweet Doris is in charge of calling people. And we always say it this way. That's a good time to ask questions. When she calls you, and she'll only do it one time. We don't harass people. But we want you to know it's an honor to have you. If you want to know about our church or any other questions, just ask her. She don't know the answer. She'll come get it. Amen. And then also, if you need anything we need to pray about, we got a great prayer team. Matter of fact, they get here about 9 o'clock, 9 to 9:30, and they go in intercessory prayer group, goes and they pray and intercede for this service and for you and for me and for our band and so on. So thank you so much. Church, would you give the visitors just one more round of applause, please? Go ahead, fellas. We also want to clap our hands for tithes and offerings, please. Amen. I love it when I get back from being gone after a week or two however long. Now, this year I've been here more than ever because of what's going on in our country. A lot of the places that I normally went to minister at and do, I didn't do this year. And so it was an honor to be able to be here in our church. I think God needed me to be here. As a matter of fact, that's the reason our church is growing, is because we never stopped. I refuse to get in fear. And most of you know, when I talk to the judges and all those pastors on our conference calls, they would talk about us because we did parking lot service we never had under 104 cars in our parking lot service. And then after a month and a half or so of that, we went to the arena and they got out of their cars. Some stayed in the cars if they wanted to, and we had church. But here's the thing. I believe that the devil spirit of what took place is the reason that our country is having so many problems right now with our economy, with people committing suicide, with schools and teachers being in fear to go back, catching the virus. And if we can convince them not to get in fear, I'll show you a church that will live in victory and not anything else. Now, again, we had the largest rodeo in the month of June. Everybody couldn't believe that I would put on a rodeo when Austin canceled. And a lot of them are still canceling. The national finals that I minister at, I minister at the Mandalay Bay Casino for the time that we're in Las Vegas for the national finals, and they're going to move it. They can't have it there because they won't allow them to have fans. So they're either going to move it to Texas or Oklahoma. Isn't that amazing? But the thing is. You've noticed rodeos continued. You never had an outbreak. You know why? It's because we don't get in fear and we stay in dirt. Anyway, am I right? If you'll just let your kids go get in the dirt, they'll be fine because they'll have a heck of an immune system. So, anyway. And there's a lot of things in that dirt. that if they don't keep you, your immune system up, something's wrong. And I don't need to explain that, do I? In Matthew chapter 19, about verse 26, the Bible says, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Say that with me. All things are possible. Say it again. All things are possible with God. Okay? Don't take God out of it. You remember the word says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then the things will be added unto you. When you're talking about finances, y'all, and for all you new people, 16 years ago, the Lord told me to not take a salary at this church so that I can actually teach. Because your heart has to be in it, right? I mean, a pastor's heart has to be in it to not take a salary at a church. And so, when I told, most of y'all know, but when I told our leadership, it was brand new. I mean, we just started this move, this outreach. And I said, well, I'm not going to take a salary. And they couldn't believe it. They acted like, how are you going to make it? Because that's our job, you know. It's kind of like working 9 to 5. This is what we do. Of course, you'll be surprised that my job goes into the night. Most people think that I just work on Sunday morning. Ha-ha, yo mama. They call me all night sometimes. I'm saying some bad, bad things. Wow. That I've had to deal and minister at night about. And so, since I don't take a salary, I'm able to teach about finances, because my phone rings more about the issues and troubles financially than any other thing. And so I want you to know that when you're talking about the kingdom of God and His ways of doing things financially, you got to get into His system. Now, the world system is totally different, because it's a system that will go up and down, like a stock market, gold and silver, and so on. But if you operate by the kingdom of God and the principles of sowing and reaping, then, man, you'll be ultimately blessed. And I know it takes some time to get used to trusting the Lord with a tithe of 10%, or, you know, an offering over and above that tithe, where the Bible says He'll give it back to you 30, 60, or 100-fold. I know it takes some time to understand the first fruits of something, or giving alms to the needy. But man, when you get into that kingdom, when you get into those principles, that's when God can richly, richly bless you. And He'll get you out of debt. And He'll get you where you're just not paycheck to paycheck. It's all trusting Him and getting into the kingdom of God and His ways. So when I read that scripture in Matthew 19 that says, with men it's impossible, but with God all things, then it changes your attitude about how you operate a business. Man, when you just say, God, You're the provider, not my business, watch Him just bring a lot of clients in. When you start understanding that your job is not your provider and God's your provider, oh man, He can do a lot of things in your life. So this morning, when you give, and by the way, if you're a visitor, you filled out that visitor card, just send it down with someone or bring it. When you give to God this morning, I want you to give with that attitude. With men, nothing's impossible. With my God, and I'm sowing the seed to You, Lord, all things are possible. Amen. So come give with a big old shout of praise. All the kiddos, y'all come on and let's do a special. Whoever's going to do a special, come on. Mike's getting it set. For all y'all that are watching, give us just a little bit and we'll get some mics turned on. This is like a production. My Lord, I love it. This is going to be good. Now, as Mike leaves, y'all give him a hand because he's responsible. He's like, oh, Jesus. All right, try your mic now.
Test 1, 2.
Oh.
These kids have been practicing a song, and this song is Waymaker, and we're going to do the chorus of that song, Waymaker. And we want y'all to worship with us this morning, because this is not just a special. Our kids love doing this, and they have a heart for it. But we're going to sing Waymaker this morning. And I just want to sing that first part that says, You are here, moving in this place. We worship you. We worship you. You are here, touching every heart. We worship you. We worship you. You are here, turning lives around. We worship you. We worship you. And y'all worship with us. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Louder. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Amen. Amen.
One more. Amen.
Thank y'all. And they're going to be singing more. They're going to be singing like once a month for y'all because it's in their hearts
to
do this. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
If I can get ushers, that way, ushers, would you come down and grab these microphones? Amen. All right. Well, let's clear the paths out. Youth group and kids church, with a big round of applause, is dismissed out the back end. Praise the Lord. Amen. Y'all look at them all. That's y'all's fault. Amen. How many brought your Bibles? Raise your Bibles up. I want to see all the Bibles. Let me see your word. Amen. Good, 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 good. Do y'all have Bibles in the back or y'all short? That's a wild group right back there. Yeah. People are looking backwards. He ain't talking to me. Thank you so much for bringing your word this morning. Here's how I want to introduce it. As you know, by all the things that are going on in this world, I believe that the enemy is attacking different areas of people's lives more right now than any other time. I'm watching marriages that are under attack. I'm watching people's health. Doctors that are giving bad reports to a lot of people. I'm seeing relationships broken, families in turmoil. I'm watching businesses and a lot of things even in the church happen that that we didn't see a lot of. And I know a lot of it's because of social media, and we're getting to see things rapid. Of course, that's a part of the end times, is because the Bible says in the end times people would go to and fro and knowledge would increase. And now, wow, you can get around the whole United States, or the whole world, really, in 24 hours. I mean, things are happening really, really, really fast right now. I'm watching a country that is very divided. We're seeing protests. We're seeing even our sports be affected in some ways. People fighting for causes, all kinds of ways. But let me tell you what's going on. Is Jesus is about to return. And we as Christians have to continue on and do the work of the ministry. That's Ephesians chapter 4. You and I have to continue on, and as the pastor of this church, I need to teach you the saints. If you're born again, you're a saint. If you're not born again, you're going to be today. No sense in going to that place that's hotter than Pecos, Texas on the 4th of July. That's what they always have said, so that's just what I remember. Oh man, hell, that's a bad, bad place. You don't want to go there. I don't know how many cowboys have told me at a rodeo, well, it doesn't matter, we'll just go play cards with our buddies. How wrong you are, brother. And so with all the things that are going on in this world, it is desperate that we live by three things that I want to talk to you about this morning. Matter of fact, they're the very first three words in one particular verse. Oh, it talks about it a lot in the Word of God, but it talks about the first three words that I'm going to talk about this morning in one verse that I want us to look at that is so vital. And I just want to tell you right now, I'm talking to this church this morning. Now, this message is for anybody that's watching, but primarily it's for this church. Now, understand that this is just a building because you are the church. But the message that I'm going to bring to you this morning that will save your life in the midst of all the trials and tribulations that are going on today, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you that are watching, but it's not necessarily for someone else's church, it's for this church. And I want you to be prepared because, again, my job is to make sure that you are in the understanding of what happens in the end times. And we've been talking about this stuff for hundreds of years, but we're starting to see it multiply really fast right now. And so let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And go to chapter 13. And when you get to chapter 13, I want you to say amen. Amen. And I'm going to wait till I got everybody's amen. I still hear a few pages turning. That's right before 2 Corinthians. It's on page 1877 in my Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 18. Chapter 13. I just seen if y'all's listening. Are you ready? We're going to talk about the very first three words of one chapter that will save your life. Are you ready? of one verse of this chapter. The first three words of one verse of this chapter. You ready? Verse 8. Say it with me. Love never fails. Say it again. Love never fails. Say it with some conviction, y'all, because you need to understand that if you don't love, you're going to be in trouble in these days. So say it with some conviction. Love never fails. If you get that on the inside of you, it will save your life in all the areas that the enemy is trying to attack you in. That love never fails. I'm going to talk to you this morning about a church that will never fail if you operate in love. I'll show you a marriage that will never fail if you operate in love. I'll show you a business that will not fail if you operate in love. I'll show you a life that will not fail if we operate in love. Because that's what God's trying to get to you and I this morning. I'm not talking about a counterfeit love. I'm not talking about a perverted love. I'm talking about a godly love that will not fail if you'll operate in that. Because a lot of people aren't operating in love today. I mean, they're angry over everything. They watch the news and they're lit. So don't watch the news. But I'm here to tell you, if we start getting a hold of those three words, that love never fails. Oh, man. Nothing's going to make you upset anymore. Listen to me. People fail because there's no faith. So what's important this morning is that we don't get our eyes on people, we get them on God. Say amen to that. You know what kills is faithlessness. Man, I'm starting to see a lot of faithlessness in people's lives today. It's a disease. It's a killer. The disease of faithlessness. Because God's not the source. When in all actuality, as a Christian, God has to be your source in everything. I want to talk to you this morning about this word called love because, man, the Bible, if you continue to read above and below some of these books of the Bible, you'll start really getting in the depths of love. But a whole lot of people really have not gotten a hold of it, especially in the Western world. Because of that spirit of pride, man, a lot of people can't even say, I love you. I was talking to a friend even on the telephone, and he called me and was just sharing some things with me. And I said, all right, brother, hey, I love you. And you know what he said? Okay, me too. I could tell where he was at right then. Because it was hard for him because of the world's ways and the perversion of love that a man can't actually say, I love you to another man. Now, we understand that the enemy has ruined that for a lot of things. Anything that was good, the devil always perverts it. And so, as y'all know, there's been movies out that pervert love in a bad way. Matter of fact, a lot of churches don't even talk about true godly agape love anymore. They don't want to offend people. They don't want to say anything about how marriage is supposed to be between one man and one woman. And I'm telling you, the day we stop speaking the Word of God as truth is the day that the church loses all of its power. That's why you don't see people getting healed and delivered and set free. You may get them saved because they don't want to die and go to a place called hell. You may get them to raise their hand 16 times in a church service. I mean, I know someone that has gotten saved like 30 times because they just want to make sure, man. I just want that insurance. I don't want to die and go to hell, so here's my hand again. When in all reality, you need to have confidence in your salvation because the Bible says no man can steal or rob your salvation. You need to have that confidence. But what causes us not to have confidence? Sin. Do you realize that there's churches today that don't even talk about sin? Now, don't get me wrong. Don't start judging the churches you see on TV. I'm constantly defending men and women of God on TV because Christians are bad-mouthing them because they see a 24-minute program that they didn't see anything about sin talked about. No. Don't judge someone because their mission in life is to be uplifting and building people up. Don't judge someone's salvation. But there is something called sin that causes people to have some weird mental attitudes about even faith. And we need to understand that sin is a killer. That when you gave your life to Jesus, the Bible says that God made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That word righteousness simply means right standing with God. But because of sin, then people don't really know who they are in Christ. They're just living by their past. You know, God couldn't use me because of what I did in college. Or God couldn't use me because I haven't spent enough time with Him and I don't know enough Scripture and over and over. And then all of a sudden we just go into this perverted way even about love that never fails. And then the pride spirit again on the Western world that the devil is perverted. They can't even say I love you to a man. But I'm here to tell you, if you're not operating in love, things will fail in your life. But love never fails. So what we're going to do is we're going to break down that spirit of pride. And it's being broken down into the Western world. And I'm not talking about men being feminine. You bring that to me, I will say right turn Clyde. All the young people are like, what? Anyway, okay. Faithlessness is a disease. Because if you don't want to live by faith, man, you better have love for anything to exist. What is success in a church? Because I'm starting to see even the church, and when I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about the people, but I'm also talking about the organizational church that, you know, we sing a worship song and we sing a praise song and then we do announcements. And I know there has to be order in the organizational part of a particular church, but ladies and gentlemen, you are the church. And something that we have to have desperately is love. Love that never fails. But if you want to see success in the church, it's not about people in the seats. It's not about finances in the bank account. You know what it is? How about salvation? You see, that's success in a church when people are getting born again. I know some churches that have 5 in 1 year and they celebrate. But yet we'll have 5 in 1 service. Why? It's because I want that kind of a success. But when you have the atmosphere of love in this church, I'm telling you, it will stop all the yokes of bondage in people's lives. I mean, you won't get offended if someone's sitting in your seat. If you operate in true godly love. You see, I want success because I believe it's measured when people are healed. Don't you agree that it's important that when people ask for prayer and they ask for someone to lay hands on them, that's Mark chapter 16, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Don't you think it's important when someone lays hands on someone sick that they actually recover? Amen. Or are we doing it just because of tradition? Now, I know some denominations that don't believe that God heals all. Not us. Because we just read it earlier in Matthew that says all things are possible to them that believe. All things are possible. Well, then when someone doesn't get healed the way you think, then you start justifying it, you see. And we got to figure out, well, why didn't Grandma get healed the way we wanted? I don't know. I'll let you know right now, I'm a preacher that don't know everything. I mean, I know some of them think they know all. But I don't know any preacher that knows it all. I don't know why some people don't. People have asked me, why didn't your dad get healed? Oh, I'm pretty sure he's healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. Because he's at the feet of Jesus. Now, yeah, maybe there's some things that we don't understand here. But that doesn't have anything to do with our faith. You know what true success is? Is that you operate by faith. And when you operate by faith, when you're believing God for something, no matter what it is, why don't we start believing for the manifestation of it? All right, here we go. When there's success, I wrote down, I believe there's success when lives are being changed and touched. I don't know why anybody would come to a church if lives aren't changed and touched. I mean, that Spirit of God. I've told the ushers and anybody that works for this church, there's some requirements when I make sure. I want you to make sure that anybody that works for this church is faithful to God. I want you to make sure that you're faithful to me and Jamie. Because if you're not faithful to me and Jamie, who is the one that God put as a part of this church, then there's going to be division, you see. And that's what ruins a lot of good churches, is division, you see. And then I demand, if you're married, that you're faithful to your husband or wife. Matter of fact, I know some pastors that actually, they make their employees sign this stuff, and it's made some of them mad. Can you believe that? To be faithful to God, faithful to, I mean, kind of like you guys that work, it's pretty smart if you're faithful to your employer. Now, I'm not talking about if he does stuff ungodly or asks you to do things ungodly, but man, if you're faithful to God, be faithful to him. Do what's required of you. You see, what we're talking about this morning is the success in churches because of the love that cannot fail. You know, a success in a church is when minds are renewed, when marriages are brought back together. Now, I understand that there's a lot, even in the church, of marriages that get tore apart. And you have to understand that you have someone else's will, right? I mean, you could be believing God to have the marriage restored, but when you're dealing with someone else and their will, if they say no to that, then, man, you just got to move on. But, man, why wouldn't we dare believe that the marriages that are under attack get restored by the power of God in Jesus' name? You see, that's success. And success is when we operate by a love that never fails. How about families being restored? You see, God wants love to manifest like never before, but we've got to make it the atmosphere, the air that we breathe. When you come in this church, I pray that our ushers, listen to me, that they're constantly operating by that Spirit of love. Because if they're operating, who are the first ones people see, then the atmosphere is full of love. You won't have a lot of issues in a church if you have an atmosphere of love. I mean, the air is just love. When you have that, then man, nothing can get you down. Nothing can move you. You won't be offended. I mean, woo, Jesus. I mean, the power of God can move in one's life, but it all is because, say it with me again, love never fails. And we've got to get this love so engrafted on the inside of us that it changes our atmosphere. If you have problems in a family right now, man, start getting a atmosphere of agape love. I didn't say eros love, a human love. I'm talking about agape love that will not fail. Because here, you're going to see some things that even when we read on down in 1 Corinthians here, even after love, that God gives some warnings about people that don't operate in love. And I'm here to tell you, you want to save a church, you want to save a marriage, you want to save a family, you want to save a business, you want to save someone from dying of a health problem, show them love. Love that never fails. Say it with me again. Love never fails. Matter of fact, you can smell love when it becomes the atmosphere. You can smell it. You want me to show you? Okay, fine. Turn to your right to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Isn't that neat? How God helps us understand following Him by children. I mean, how many of you have kids in here? Let me see your hand. Anybody that has kids, like my two kids, Seth's 13, when he was probably 8, 9, 10, I would watch him and he'd do everything I did. Everything. Good or bad. So I made sure I tried to do everything good. But he would copy me. Think about it. He would mimic everything I did. I would watch him over there and I'd have this rope and I would be, getting the eye straight. And I'd watch him over there with his rope and he would watch me and he would do everything. And then if I put it under my arm, that's what he did. He put it under his arm. If I would take a swing and swing two or three times, that's exactly what he'd do. He'd take it, swing two or three times. And how he coiled his rope, he did it exactly like I did. I mean, constantly. I make sure the coils of my rope are exactly the same size. You learn that in roping because when you're roping an animal off of a horse, if your coils aren't the same size, they can get tangled up, and that's when things can happen that are not good. I mean, that's when you give a high 4.5 because you got one finger missing. Things happen, but I would watch him. Matter of fact, when I would eat, I'd watch him, and he would do everything just like me, how he brought the fork up. You see, here the Bible is trying to tell us, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. But look what verse 2 says. Walk, say it with me, in love. As Christ also loved us and has given Himself for us as an offering, a sacrifice to God as a what? A sweet smelling savor. You see, it's a fragrance. When you operate in God's kind of love, I'm talking about nothing bothers you. You don't get upset about anything. I'm not talking about be angry, and sin not. There's a time when we get angry because the devil is trying to attack something in our life. I mean, don't be afraid of getting angry. In that regard, just don't allow it to cause sin to come into your life. But what I'm actually talking about too is the love of God that never fails. I mean, in a relationship, if you operate in love, I mean, even in the midst of a trial and tribulation in that marriage, it'll come out of it with a sweet-smelling fragrance. Me and my wife have had to operate that way many, many times. As she'll do something wrong, and we don't, do we? We don't ever fight. Man, I got a good wife. Oh. And all the people said amen. Yeah. But the reason we don't fight is because we've got a hold of a scripture that says love never fails. I mean, even when I'm wrong, very seldom. But y'all kind of getting a hint of, even when I'm wrong. Y'all know the song that I put on an album. It's called Love. How many of you heard that Love? It's called Blessed. You need to get it if you don't, because it cost me a lot to do it. And so, but you can get it. I know it's in CD, and you got to figure out how to do a CD now. But there's a song on it called Love. And you want to talk about the Word of God? Love never fails. It's not puffed up. I mean, love, you know, is the most important thing, even when someone's wrong. It never fails. You see, this morning, I'm wanting to get us to understanding that love is everything that we do, but there's a warning by not operating in love that I think you'll see right here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. Because you see, earlier we talked about sin. And what stops marriages from being a success? I mean, I can ask this probably in this group. There's two things that most people have major issues in a marriage and in the church. If there's ever a pastor that has trouble, there's two things, and probably all of y'all could say the two things. Sex and money. Those two things are troubled in marriages and even in a minister's life at church. If you ever see a minister that falls, it's always because of sex and money. And matter of fact, we probably can go through some that we know that we've even seen on TV. It always dealt with, they had an issue with money, and they didn't do it right, or there was a sexual thing. Well, see, when we start understanding that these warnings here that the Apostle Paul talks about in verse 5, it will help all of us continue to operate in love and nothing else. Look with me in verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you. A great minister one time told me, don't ever have a past, son. That's what he did. He looked at me and he said, don't ever have a past. And then he explained. Because if you have a past, you're going to have trouble in the areas that you had the past in. So it's important that all of us, if we're operating in love, understand that God's given us warnings to not even let these things be named among you. You see, I think so many times we as Christians, since we don't operate in love, the love that never fails, we don't really understand that we have dominion and power over sin. You read the whole book of Romans and you'll find out that sin does not have dominion over a Christian unless you let it. But man, when you have dominion over it and you operate in this love that will not fail, man, I'll show you marriages that are restored, or God will bring you a better one. Come on now. And it all's operating in love, man. Oh, I want the atmosphere of love. Now, again, I'm talking to this church because I want this church to be successful in all the areas of your life. Look at this. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, verse 4, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. And then it just goes on and starts talking about the warnings that we can't do these things and also walk in love. You see, I want us to start examining ourselves, y'all. I'm not going to be able to get through this. Son of a gun. I'll have to wait till next time. Isn't that a shame? Because we've got to get a hold of this stuff. We've got to start talking about some of this stuff that, man's uncomfortable. Because, guys, the attacks are more today than any other time. You want a successful marriage? Operate in love. Say it with me. Love never fails. A love that never fails. And if we have that atmosphere around us, nothing bothers us, and we're operating in true agape love, oh man, Watch the victories you get in your life. Love never fails. Man, I can get so deep and the Lord just won't let me. I think that once we get a hold of God's kind of love, oh man, it's going to change some lives. And it's time He changes some lives today. So here's what we're going to do. Thank you, Lord. If you've had some issues, and we're going to do this real fast. It's about 5 till 12, everybody. I'm looking at the big clock in the back. Everybody turn around and look at the big clock. If you're having issues in any area that is causing you not to operate in love, then we got to break that spirit. No one's going to know what it is, because it can be something as simple as just an anger issue. I'm just flat mad. It could be offense. A lot of people God brings to this church that was offended at another church. And listen to me, you got to get over that, because it'll manifest in this one if you don't get over it. And you got to get freed. But the only thing that'll free you is love. A love that will not fail. I know we're fixing to come into a political season, man. We're in it. It's big. But if we're not careful, all of that is weighing on us. Which way is our country going to go? I mean, are we going to a new system, or are we going to stay with what God created? Anyway, are we going to have a country founded on Judeo-Christian principles, or are we going to let it continue to go? But we're going to stay upset all the time if we're not operating in love, a love that will not fail. Oh man, I'm telling you, this is deeper, y'all, than you think. For some of you, you're getting it. The Spirit of God, I'm seeing the ones that just it hadn't broke yet. If there's any person in here that's been dealing with anger, with offense, with regret, with depression, with marriage problems, with any kind of issue that you feel like you're right in the midst of a trial and tribulation, the first act of faith which God moves by, He moves by faithfulness, not faithlessness. He moves by faithfulness. Taking the step and saying, you know what, I don't care what people think. I'm going to go get set free in Jesus' name. I'm not going to live with this hurt any longer. I need to get set free. The only thing that's going to set you free is agape love. Love that never fails. And we've got to get that atmosphere around us so that anybody we come in contact, anybody that even comes near us, gets set free from all the junk that's going on in their lives because of love. And we're going to start talking about love. I'm not talking about a perverted love or a feminine type of love. I'm talking about the love of God that never fails. It's not puffed up. It's not haughty. It's just a love that we have to operate in order to see that promised land. In order to see the victory of God in our lives. In order to see a marriage get healed. In order to see someone that's gone through it get up and not live by the enemy's attacks any longer. To not live by what a doctor says is the final report. To not even live in the spirit of fear. But understand that God didn't give us that spirit of fear. He gave us that spirit of power. Dunamis power, man. But you can't have that dunamis power without love. You can't operate by the spirit of power, love, and then a sound mind if we're not operating in it all the time. So we're going to get set free this morning. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to open up this altar. Anyone that is dealing with any kind of issue that is stopping their love walk, I mean, they're not seeing the victories like they used to. They get upset easily. I want you to get up here right now and come stand in front of me. Just get up and come on, come on. Don't be afraid. Get up, come on. Just stand right here. Come on, come on, come on, Jesus. And just stand up here. You're the ones that you don't live by faithlessness. You live by faithfulness. You want things to happen in your life. Just get up here. Or if you know someone and you want to stand in for them, you come in. Doesn't matter what it is. I know a boy that is having suicidal thoughts right now. He feels like he doesn't have anything. And I'm telling you, we break that spirit of suicide and death off of him in Jesus' name. Say amen to that, y'all. God wants to set every one of you free right now. And because you took that step of faith, I'm telling you, this is your victory time. And it's all because God loves you. Oh, man. I know you're going through the attacks right now, but you know what? It's time to go through them. And how, my wife said this the other day, how you handle things in the midst of an attack is how you come out of it. You have an opportunity right now to be angry and upset and stay that way. That's kind of like building a tent in the middle of a trial and tribulation. You just stay there all the time. But man, I'm going to pray right now that every single one of you receives that tremendous outpouring of love, God's kind of love. I want some ushers and ministers just to come and stand behind these people. And I want you to know right now that if you'll receive it, I don't want you holding your hands. I want you to receive the prayer that I'm going to pray for you. And we're going to all be in agreement for you. So all of you that are here, I want you to put your hand over your heart first. Put your hand over your heart right for me. And I want you to receive this prayer. And then all of you ministers, people that if you feel like you just want to come up and pray for someone, get out of your seat and you come up here. And I just say, if you have a word for someone, you get up here and you just share that word. I want to make sure that that word is exhortation and edification in Jesus' name. I don't want a bunch of junk. Every person that has your hand over your heart, receive this prayer in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord, that every person that has their hand on their heart receives an engrafting outpouring of love right now. Oh, Jesus, give it to them. I don't know exactly what all of them are going through, but sir, you do. And everything that they're going through is just that. Let's get them through it. So cause them to have an atmosphere, an air of love right now. And Father, I give you praise for it. Now, y'all that are sitting and y'all that are behind them, just begin to pray for them and reach your hands towards them in Jesus' name. Give it to them in Jesus' name. Come on. Mike, just play me some music. Give them love. Love in Jesus' name. Come on, love. The outpouring of love in Jesus' name. God, heal. I thank you, Lord, that you've healed all broken hearts. I thank you, Father, that we receive this engrafting of the Word of God that will change them in Jesus' name. Father, give it to them. Give it to them right now. Come on. Receive it in Jesus' name. Thank God. You deserve it. You deserve it. Love in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Love. Glory be to God. Love. Love in Jesus' name. Come on. Give it to them. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you. Come on, say, I have love. I operate in love in Jesus' name. Come on. You're going to make it. Come on, we're not quitters. You can do it. Don't you let that devil cause you to quit. You're more than a conqueror through Christ because he loves you. I know who you are. God knows who you are. Love in Jesus' name. Come on, brother. You can do it. Come on, man. Do it, buddy. Come on, do it. We don't quit. We operate in love in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on in Jesus' name. Now, if you have your hand on your heart, you can put it down. And I want you to receive by out of your mouth, this is faith, saying, I receive that in Jesus' name. Just say, I receive it in the name of Jesus. Love. you're going to leave this church, right? You're going to have to drive out of it. And you're going to leave the spirit of love, the atmosphere of love. And we're going to enter into a world, right? The Bible says we live in a world, but not of this world. It's going to be up to all of you and me, all of us in here, when we walk out we drive out the gate, to not allow that world to dictate us. That everything that's out there, it submits to us because of the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us. Amen? And we're going to operate in love. And every one of you that are dealing with issues of marriage and whatever it might be, because the list can go on and on. Just things just keep happening. It's up to you to break it, and love will break it. Especially when it doesn't bother you anymore. When you laugh. I used to be driving down the road, it'd be 2 a.m. And I'd be dealing with something, issue of the church or whatever. And there would be a man, and he would always be on, like way up north. I don't remember his name. Some of y'all might have heard the guy. And he would counsel people late at night, Christian counselor. And he would go, "Do this after me. Ha ha, ho ho, hee hee." And they would be there like, "Huh? Do what?" He said, "No, say it with me. Ha ha. Say it. Do it with me, class. Ha ha, ho ho, hee hee. Ha ha ha, ho ho, hee hee. Ha ha ha." And I would do that in the truck, and I'd feel so stupid. But I was all by myself, so it wouldn't matter. But all of a sudden, I would just have joy. Ha ha. Oh, hee, 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 hee. Oh, and then I would just start thinking about stuff. Now, I don't do it in front of people very much. Kind of look goofy. But the point is that joy. The joy of the Lord. That joy. Joy, joy, joy. All of it operates by love. If you don't have love, something's wrong. We got to get that love, because you deserve the best. Both of you. You deserve it. No more. Not going to let this enemy, this world system, defeat us any longer. Amen? Because of love. All right, stay where you're at. Everybody out there, I want everybody to bow your head and pray this prayer with me. I'm going to have everybody pray this prayer, and we're going to ask Jesus to come into our lives. Now, I'm not saying that if you're already born again, you're going to get saved again, because you're not. You're already born again. But if you're out there and you don't know Jesus, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, I want you to make Jesus your Lord and Savior right now by praying a prayer. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray Romans 10:9. 10:9 says in Romans that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Okay, so we're going to invite Jesus to come into our life and be the Lord of our life. Now, the reason I'm having everybody pray it is because we're going to pray it with you if you hadn't ever prayed it. If you've never given your life to Jesus, we're all being saved people. We're going to pray this prayer with you. But when you pray it, you pray and mean everything. Pray it out loud where your ears can hear it. And we're going to ask Jesus to come into our life. So if there's anybody at the sound of my voice or even watching that has never given their lives to Jesus, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you left this earth. Choose heaven by receiving the Son of God, Jesus. Not a church, not some preacher, Jesus. So let's all pray it just like this. Ready? Say out of your mouth, "Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart, and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And today is my God day, because the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is now my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. In Jesus' name I pray." With no one looking around, real fast, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus this morning, right where you're standing or right where you're sitting, when I count to three, I want you to be bold enough. Jesus was not ashamed to die for us. Please don't be ashamed of Him. If you just gave your life to Jesus and you prayed that prayer, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, God, I meant that. And then just put your hand back down. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you come down to the front. Right where you're standing or sitting, if you just gave your life to Jesus and you prayed that prayer, get your hand up when I say three. Ready? With boldness. One, two, three. Go. Anybody? All right, look at me, everybody. Very seldom do I see a service where we didn't have one person. I mean, I know it happens, but man, I want to see people saved, because that's a success. But the success of a church is that you're healed and we operate in love no matter what. Amen? So, you're more than welcome to just go and stand at your seat, because we're done. We're fixing to leave. Did y'all have a good time this morning? Oh, man. Listen to me. Don't miss continuing to invite people to come to Cowboy Church. It looks like I'm here for a while. Thank you, Jesus. And so I can't wait till next Sunday. But obviously, you know, Tuesday is our Bible study. Man, that's where you get to know people. It's hard to get to know them really during services. Just because we're out of here, but in Bible study, you want to talk about relationship. Man, don't miss Bible study. We start at like 6:30 with the little fellowship, and then at 7, they start teaching. And from what I heard, you and Laurie are tag teaming. Praise God. Matter of fact, Ricky and Laurie are tag teaming some messages for a series. And so I'm really excited about that. So don't miss. As most of you know, I didn't say it during the offering time, just because sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. Please continue to believe with us. We do everything debt-free here. So all we lack, and I said it the last time, and I told Heidi, we said we needed $30,000 last time. And I know $10,000 came in. And she said, yeah, but you know how building is. Things go up and down. And we're this close. We're almost there. And but we need right around the 30 for the flooring, what they're going to do on the floor, and some of the stuff that we got to have. How many toilets? How many sinks? How many those kind of things? I think in 4 bathrooms. So and then to get the classes ready for our kids. That's the kids' church, and that's the last part. As far as the church is concerned, before we start believing God for an indoor arena. I'm going to be on top of that, buddy. But I'm on top of this because I want our kids to not have to go to the announcer stand, and I want them to be able to go right out. And we haven't even cut the wall out yet, but we're fixing to cut the 2 doors, and then those kids will just go right out, and including the youth. So, man, I want you to believe with us, please. On the offering envelope, just, man, if God puts it on your heart, let's do it. It's time we get that thing built. Also, the last thing I'll tell you guys is we're doing 2 conferences here. It's the first time in the history of Cowboy Church that we've done a women's conference and a men's conference. Both of them are going to be, the women's are going to be November the 14th. Man, it's just a one-day conference. We've invited, my wife is going to speak. Ann Smith, which is our spiritual mom that was the pioneer of the cowboy movement. Her and her husband, Glenn Smith, was my spiritual dad. She's going to be ministering. And then a wonderful pastor from Greeley, Colorado, named Lynette Gleghorn. Her and her husband pastor up there. That conference is going to be incredible. And I'm really excited about it. So put it on your calendar, all the women, on November the 14th. And it'd just be a one-day conference right here at the church. And then the next weekend, which is the 21st, is our men's conference. And I've got 2 of the speakers lined up, and I've got 1 left and to get scheduled. And so put the 21st, men. You spend 1 day from hunting, because it's going to be more important to be here. Amen? We'll hunt on Sunday evening, Friday. So those two dates are really important. I want to start spreading the word. Betsy is in charge of the women's conference. And then I can be in charge, or Ricky actually is in charge of the men's conference. So did you know that, Ricky? I think I told you. So anyway, quiet in the church, please. I say that's the way it works, brother. Stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed. I love you guys. Say it loud with me. Love never fails. Say it again. Love never fails. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a good time this morning. As we operate in that world, but not of it, we're going to operate in love. Love never fails. So, Father, thank you for helping us in that area. We don't get in anger if we live in love. We don't bow down. We stand for principles, but we do it with love. So, Father, thank you, Lord, for delivering us of the areas that we've been defeated in. And we're going to live by faith, and we're going to live by love. In Jesus' name. Amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed. Love you.